Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and today I decided to do a solo show because I've had so many conversations with individuals about where do we go from here? In the midst of this COVID crisis and in the midst of so much social unrest, I thought it might be very timely to just begin to talk about what my perspective is as a healer and as an educator and as an intuitive, what we could do to begin to look at our lives differently and what do we do now. Just the other day, I had the opportunity to sit in on a webinar. In fact, this gentleman is going to be a guest on the show next week. His name is Carl Johan Kalaman. And he talks about what's called the nine waves of consciousness and the nine waves of evolution. And interestingly, I have studied his work and it helped me to have a greater depth of understanding about what is happening and how we live in what's called cycles of time. And we are in this time right now that many indigenous elders have spoken about and many texts from around the world have spoken about, this time of change where we are being given the opportunity to squarely and fully look at who we are, what we are choosing to do, and where do we want to go from here. If we look back historically, especially in since probably 400 or 500 years that we, or longer, we have had so much conflict. And much of this conflict has been spawned from the fact that one organization or one cultural belief or one organization or one religion has, or many of these entities, have attempted to control other people. But what we have seen is it always is disastrous, because when someone is trying to control another person, there will always be resistance. There will always be a slave mentality. There will always be a thought process that someone is superior and someone is inferior. But right now, we are in this opportunity, especially having been sequestered for relatively short period of time, considering the length of time we have been on this planet, to look at what are we doing? What is really important to us? What ideologies are we willing to follow? Which ideologies should we just really closely look at? And which ideologies should we let fall apart? And in that conscious awareness, we have to begin with ourselves. Where do we want to be in this precious day, in this Monday morning? What do I want my day to look like for me? Now, that does not mean in any way that I am controlling the circumstances around me, because I cannot. But what I am doing is being consciously aware of how I choose to respond to anything that happens. Anything that happens to me, around me, for me, against me, whatever my perception is in that moment. So I can speak honestly about my own experiences. Is I have recognized the things in myself that I want to change. I recognize that sometimes I can be short-tempered. I recognize that sometimes I have a level of frustration when I don't agree with someone. And what it has called me to do is to be aware of how I have allowed myself to habituate responses, how I have allowed myself to just react rather than respond. So it's been a conscious choice on my part, because that is where we have to begin. We have to begin within ourselves. We cannot look at out there is what are those people doing or what is that group doing, but what am I doing? because we are all individuals that then make up that group that we call the them and the those guys. We are all individuals capable of learning how to respond appropriately rather than being under such duress. And one of the things that is very interesting to me as an author and as a researcher also, because I'm working on another book, and I recognize that we've been very consciously dumbed down. And we appear to be willing to be dumbed down. We follow very prescribed patterns that limit and, if not altogether stop, creative individual thinking. And I am not asking for anyone to revolt, because that then is so easily triggering other people. What I'm asking you to is to have a silent evolution, not revolution. So we have to learn how to evolve. We have to understand that as human beings, we are the participants in our lives. We are the ones who are creating and interacting with the circumstances that either hold us back, hold us in place, or propel us forward. So first of all, one of the things that, and by the way, I've begun doing some webinars because people have asked me around the country if I would, and actually outside of the United States, I'm very grateful to say, if I would participate or if I would consider giving webinars to talk about various topics. So I have done that. I've talked about the need to be grounded, the need to understand that we are physiologically connected to a living earth, energetically connected to a living earth that provides for us the energy that makes us stable, that helps to makes us stable, so that we can learn how to respond when we have sufficient peace within us, that we don't allow our chemistry, our body to be flooded with adrenaline to override any choices that we make. We have to remember that we are biological beings whose body's genetics has already been pre-programmed to provide this fight or flight that we have. We do not consciously create adrenaline to flow in our body unless we intentionally put ourselves in situations that are adrenaline producing. However, we have to learn how to divert ourselves from these systems that override our ability to think and override our ability to make choices that are conscious. So all we have to do is turn on any radio, any television program, any news organization, and look at the constant challenges that we're seeing, the unbelievable inequality that has been consciously put in place, not just by accident. So we have to remember that all of these systems that are intended to keep us in a low vibration are working very diligently to make sure we stay there. We as individuals have to be wise enough to look at these things that are inflaming the actions of a few in favor, instead of allowing us to see the goodness of the many. And so it was in a conversation with some family members yesterday about quote unquote protests. And interestingly, my perspective, and I can only speak from my perspective, I said to my siblings that, you know, I think that you speak so much louder by how you choose to live your life rather than by standing out for an hour somewhere screaming about something that is happening or protesting. Yes, protests are valuable because we need to express our opinions about things, but it is far more impactful when we do something about these things, not simply react, but work to bring about a better change. So where do we go from here? Is kind of a culmination of many of the individuals that I've had the privilege of speaking to on this show. People that are working to make environmental changes, people that are working to create spiritual awareness, people that are helping individuals have emotional intelligence, people that are working to discover what can we do physiologically for our bodies so that we are taking better care of ourselves and therefore our world. And what I think is fundamental is that we look within. If we begin by looking outside of ourselves, we have already begun the process of failing, because we cannot change anyone outside of ourselves. We can only change ourselves and then model ourselves, not on how we necessarily want to create a change for others, but how we can show that change can be workable. I think that if we follow somebody whose intention is to change you, or whose intention is to make you follow a particular dogma, then that means that you must inherently forego your own ability to think. You have to forego your own ability to look at what is happening and follow commands, orders, rules, laws that prescribe human behavior rather than ascribe human behavior. And that's where we have to begin to look. So my suggestion, in fact, I did and have done and will continue to do some webinars called Where Do We Go From Here? How do we begin to have open conversation about what we're encountering in our own lives? And what do we want to do to help to make a change? So in some of those conversations with individuals, many people have talked about the circumstances, for instance, in which they work. And what, as an example, in the medical industry, medical world, and others I have spoken to who were teachers, who are teachers, who are not able to teach in the way that they were expected to teach in the past. And sometimes I think, I'm going to speak just for a moment about education. I think that we're actually in a wonderful opportunity right now if we can get over the fright of having to still follow a pattern that was prescribed to test individuals regarding a standardized way of learning that inherently will make many, many people fall through the cracks, and really begin to look at what does learning mean? What does it mean to have an inquiring mind? What does it mean to learn how to investigate something that is worthy of investigating or something that piques someone's interest and follow different avenues of discovery to see what has happened in the past, not to just replicate what has happened in the past, but to see the workability or the fallibility of what has happened in the past, to look at what's happening now in relation to what has happened in the past, because that is often how we model what we're doing now, is what has worked in the past, or at least what we have seen in the past workable or not. And then what we might want to project into the future, meaning what do we want to envision happening in the future, and what do we do to make those things begin to come to fruition, to begin to unfold in front of us. Fundamentally, what I think we need to do is to look at, we're getting the opportunity to learn right now how to really begin to think. But the challenge is that we're in the midst of our emotions right now. And we're in the midst of the emotions that we have not examined. We're in the midst sometimes of not knowing how to be autonomous, not knowing how to think independently, not knowing how to think collaboratively, not knowing how to think communally, meaning what is in the best interest of humanity at this time? What is in the best interest of others at this time? And really being honest and looking at our own selfishness at times when we desire to be right. Right and correct are not the same. Right and workable are not the same. Right is often a dogma that is professing a particular ideology that is not necessarily correct or healthy. So, first of all, I think that we have an opportunity to pause for a moment, to look at what are the things in your own life that cause you frustration, and examine that when you're in the midst of it. Give yourself the time to examine, let's say, as an example, let's say you get frustrated about something, whatever that might be. And pause for a moment. Give yourself the time to pause and say, what do I want to do in this moment? Do I want to continue to bring forward this kind of non-productive anger? Or do I want to examine this and say, what can I do differently here? What needs to be avoided? What needs to be corrected? What needs to be said? What needs to be offered? So that we can stop being like tumbleweeds that just follow the wind, that follow the winds of change that are often blown by those that we really don't want to have control our lives. That's one thing. And then invariably you'll find, and I can only speak from my own perspective, I've been trying to be very conscious of these things that are the triggers for me. Because I realized that in my 60s, which I am now, I have precious little time left here. And the reality is, we all have precious little time left here. Because we cannot assume that we will all live to be old at old age. We cannot assume that we don't have just today. We cannot assume that we don't have just this week. And what is it that you want to focus your attention on? What is it that I want to focus my attention on? If I knew that I only had a short period of time left, would I want to spend any of it angry? Would I want to spend any of it trying to defend what someone else is not capable of comprehending? No, I wouldn't. So I'm learning to cherish my time. I'm learning to cherish those conversations with individuals who are willing to be open, and to just not give as much attention to those who are not willing to change. That doesn't mean I have to be unkind to them. But what I mean by that is to recognize that I cannot change the thought process of another. And so I'm not going to try. However, what I will do is offer what I am aware of. And then anyone can choose to listen, choose to take it in, or choose to totally ignore. And that's okay. Because whether we know it or not, every single one of us is on an evolutionary path, journey. We are here to grow. We have come to this life to learn to contribute, to learn to see the world with our eyes open, with our hearts open, and with our minds open. And right now, we are kind of in a very low denominator, a low common denominator. because we do not know how to be peaceful. We do not know how to be deliberate in caring for our planet, deliberate in caring for one another. Because if that were the case, we would have no hunger. We would have no illusion of the haves and the have-nots. Where do we want to go from here? I remember some time ago, I was having a conversation with an elder, an indigenous elder, and I was very taken by something that was said to me and really moved by it, and it has caused me to think a great deal about the significance of every person on the planet at the moment. And this individual said to me, for every one human who is alive right now, there are 10 million souls that wish that they were in your place. If we think about how many humans have lived on this planet that we can even know of, let alone that we don't know of, how many lives, how many individuals would wish to be here now with knowing what they knew then, the hardships that they went through, the difficulties that they went through, the learning that they went through, and what would they do differently? Part of what I've been doing in this time in COVID is to look at and read and watch and listen to things that are being disclosed. So for instance, I have recommended to several people who are in the field of evolving human consciousness so that we are not just violent people and traumatized people, but how we have allowed in our world things to go on because of what someone holds over another. For instance, there is a very difficult to watch but very telling documentary series on Netflix called Filthy Rich, and it is about Jeffrey Epstein. And I have always said to people, because I have done some work in human trafficking, to the little degree that I have, is follow the money. If we want to understand this kind of human corruption, follow the money. And when we follow the money, then we have to recognize that people have been willing to compromise themselves and others in order to have what they want at the detriment of other humans. And when we are aware that there are global things of this magnitude that are willing to be so divisive and so degrading to another human being, and there is a willful choice to ignore these things, then we are complicit. So we have to look at what has been hidden from us so that we can begin to recognize truths about our own experiences. So this is a very large topic and one that I wish to have many, many times in the future. My guest for next week will be Carl Johan Kalaman, who is a scholar on Mayan astronomy, astrology, and the human evolution of consciousness, or the evolution of human consciousness, I should say. But I would like to invite individuals, if they're interested in learning anything about the webinars that I am teaching, to please go to my Facebook page, which is Elaine M. Grohman, which is G-R-O-H-M-A-N. You could also go, if you're interested, you could email me or send me a message on Facebook, and I will put you on my newsletter list where I send out the webinars that I am teaching. and you can sign up and participate, and or certainly listen to Empower Radio and get in touch with me through Empower Radio. And collectively, we have to begin to truly empower ourselves. That means to recognize the power we have, to engage the power that we have of our intellect, of our emotions, of our mind, of our potential actions, so that we can together begin to rise up out of the sludge of our thinking and really begin to make something significant happen peacefully, lovingly, inclusively for all of humanity, recognizing and limiting the potential of any violence to any human being, so that eventually we can stop it, so that every human can learn to contribute to in the best way possible. I want to thank you for your time today. And again, I'm very grateful to Remy Smith, who is my producer, and to Brent Carey, who is the founder of Empower Radio, who had the vision to begin to know that things had to change in the world of media, so that we can begin to look at things collaboratively and truly empower ourselves so that we can do our part to make the world a better place. I'm Elaine Grohman. This is Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Thank you for listening to me today.